Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christopher.
And we're going to be covering Outlander Season 8, Episode 8, In the Forest.
Yeah, in the forest. We are in the forest without the orange vest. This will be explained by our bright orange drinks.
I will maintain that the only merch we would ever sell are orange safety vests.
It's true.
For people to wear in the woods.
Because that is exactly what should be happening with Francesca on Bridgerton.
She's going to need it in Scotland. She's going to be out there in the rain without a vest on, and Michaela's going to have to find her, and it's going to be a lot harder without the orange vest.
It's true, and of course, you know, we had Kate on Bridgerton in the woods without a vest. It was always very stupid, but still. Yeah. So we've got in the forest without a vest. Without a vest is not part of the Outlander thing, but it is certainly part of ours. We have disclaimers, which include that we might be talking about orange vests.
That's not a disclaimer, Mom. That's just a fact.
Yes, there will be cursing, certainly. There will be spoilers for this show. We are nearly at the end of the show in its entirety, people. You need to be caught up. And we are having things to drink. I have to say what we're having to drink because I mixed the drinks. We are having Aperol Spritzes. Natalie's having what we call the normal kind, the kind that we do has Aperol, Aranciata, and some Prosecco or sparkling wine. And
it's been a while since I've had one. This is great.
It really is. It's super it's tasty.
It's so refreshing.
And it's so orange.
A good summer drink.
And it looks so gingery. So because it looks gingery, and of course it is the ginger theme, I added some of the blood orange ginger beer to mine. Natalie's not a ginger beer fan, so I did not put it in hers, but I have it in mine and I like it. So give it a shot, literally, and let's get started.
All right, so there are two storylines. One in Savannah, one in the Ridge. The Ridge is the most prominent, so we will save it for second. Yes. So let's begin in Savannah. So Lord John Grey and Amaranthus are stuck in this goddamn house together.
And why she just doesn't die? I would be okay with her dying.
She just dropped dead.
Yeah,
she has a child, so maybe we should not her drop dead.
They have all kinds of foundlings at the Ridge. It's totally fine. They would take care of her. The baby. Lord John Grey does all kinds of stuff with adopting kids. He's fine with it.
Either way, they are in this together, and there are maybe there's like two scenes of Amaranthus coming in and being like, I'm worried about William. Like, where is he? He just stormed off and he didn't come back. And Lord John Grey's like, I know my son. He's just going off to blow off some steam and he'll probably come back eventually.
Yeah, because that's what he does.
And also, he is a grown man who can do whatever the fuck he wants. Like, he disappears for weeks at a time, as most people do in this time. Mm-hmm. Like, they go off on little adventures and then come back. Like, it's just kind of what you do. And so Lord John Grey's not super worried about it. He doesn't like that they parted in anger, but he can't do anything about it now. He can only live his truth and blah, blah, blah. So, next. So then Amaranthus comes in and there's a note for Lord John Grey. And
she's like, maybe it's from William. And he's like,
no, it's not.
It's from Beauchamp.
Who says, I've located Richardson, meet with me. We can end this now. And he's like, finally, my chance. And so he goes to meet with Beauchamp. And he goes to his office. It's late at night, so this could only mean one thing. Either sex or some death. Kind of crime is going to happen. And so Lord John Grey comes in and Beauchamp's like, yeah, sorry. And Lord John Grey's like, and Richardson knocks Lord John Grey out.
With a candlestick in the office.
He's not dead. He's kidnapped, which is not ideal. We love Lord John Grey.
We do, but he's been kidnapped before. And obviously Denzel's going to fix it. So, I mean,
he did last time. So
it's totally possible.
Unclear, but yeah, no, he is kidnapped, and Beauchamp is a big ass pussy liar.
And Richardson's an asshole. So, hey, we knew this. Anyway, that's pretty much
Indeed.
it for the
That's
Savannah thing.
all Savannah.
Yay.
And
And not a lot of
Amorphis is
Amaranthus. And she could die at any time.
sure.
Yep. All for it. So
So yeah.
the big thing is, like, there's a lot going on the ridge, and you some of it involves, like, Jamie and Marsley talking. They talk at the cairn,
No, they're
and
not talking about the Cairn. They actually do bury him.
oh, does no. Oh, do they
They
bury
bury
Sandman's?
Fergus. They
Okay,
bury the
so
coffin.
there's a funeral. Marsley talks to Jamie about why taking Percy's office offer, I call it Percy or Beauchamp's offer,
It would be
the
easier to
slum
say
job.
Percy.
Yeah, offer. It appeals to her because she wants to reopen the print shop. She wants to, live out this dream, and she believes in the cause of freedom, and she could do all of that. And that's why she came to the colonies to begin with. But she tells Jamie that Fergus only wanted to be Jamie's son. That's part of the reason he didn't want to take this offer about Saint-Germain, because he didn't want to identify himself as anything but Fergus Fraser, because that's, the man who was a real father to him.
Oh,
And
he's
of course,
so
Jamie's like,
sweet.
ah! I mean, again, this performance is great.
And
And
then Marsley talks to Fergus's grave and is like, "I knew you little asshole would leave me with something." And she's pregnant because we saw them have sex, so she's pregnant. And as you do on Outlander.
yep.
And now she has another mouth to feed.
Yeah.
But that's not the way she's looking at it, though. It's a great gift and a blessing that she is looking upon this with. And she is ready for the next chapter of, well, I say ready. She is prepared to move to the next chapter of her life, and she will do it with determination and love for her deceased husband in her heart. And
Yeah.
she will continue his legacy through his children and through the print shop. It will all be worth it.
Yeah. So we then go to Jamie and Claire talking about Frank's book. And among the things they discuss are Claire mentions something about how Frank used to call Brianna Deadeye because she's such a great shot.
Brianna, sorry, Roger mentions that because they have now brought the guns to the ridge and they're testing them out, and Brianna proves how good of a shot she is. Obviously, we already know this, and that's when Deadshot comes in, and then he's like, "Huh,
Deadeye.
Deadeye," and
Jamie's like, hey, wait a minute.
it's dedicated. This book is dedicated to Deadeye.
To my Deadeye is
To
what he
my dead
says.
eye,
Yeah.
whatever. And we obviously knew this is Brianna. And I mean, like, come on, man. Who else would it be? Oh,
It's not Claire.
it's certainly not Claire. We all knew that, but like,
But yeah,
what?
so he realizes that, what he believes is that Frank knew that somehow Brianna was going to be able to time travel, and it's like this whole conjecture thing, which is idiotic, but that the whole book is basically a primer for Brianna to make it possible for Jamie to survive.
Yeah, and
It
for
seems
someone
kind
to
of
take care
stupid.
of her, I'm of two minds about it. On one hand, like, they are right that Frank in many ways primed Brianna, even in his lifetime, to like teach her how to shoot, teach her how to camp, teach her how to like survive. In many ways, he primed her not just as a historian's daughter, but as like the daughter of someone who is from the past and who she might want to know one day. And obviously he didn't want her to know this, but he can't stop Claire from telling her. So you might as well prepare her for the elements if she were to face them. And so what they're thinking is that he primed her for that, gave them this book as like, here's all the information I know about your death. Here's how you, and here is are some possibilities. Here's some maps that might help you prevent it.
Well, one of the other things that's in the book is that he discusses that the British Army, or this segment of the British Army, is going to be armed with the latest rifle technology, which is something that is like a rapid reloading thing. So it's not like you have to,
Or more rapid.
well, right, it's not like the muskets where you have to tamp everything down. It's not this really long process. It is a much faster reloading for the rifles.
And so Brianna, being the tech genius that she is, she is able to make a similar version of a different kind of rifle that is faster to reload, and she test runs them and it's great.
And they're all very impressed, including William Mackenzie, who's like, ooh, she's awesome.
I'm of two minds about this whole idea, but I already mentioned on the one hand, like what they're thinking, and I'm like, oh, that's very nice if that's true. And on the other, I'm still like, well, that's just bullshit. Frank just kind of was like, I'm not saying Frank was like, I can't imagine Frank being very generous towards Jamie. I can never
Ever.
picture
Yeah,
him
no.
being feeling any kind of generosity towards Jamie in any
Even
particular way.
for on Brianna's behalf, she I don't see it either.
I don't see any of, like, he did not want anything to do with Jamie from start to finish. I was shocked in the first place that he even looked into. I wasn't shocked that he looked into his death. I was shocked that he made a whole book about it. But I can't imagine the Frank that we met in all of the seasons that he was alive, like, ever being like, you know what, I'm gonna help Jamie Fraser because he fucked my wife several times
And
while,
she loves him more than me.
yeah, and she wants to go back to him, but she can't because she thinks he's dead. Let's make sure he's dead. And so it's just like, I can't imagine. And he had so much resentment towards Claire. And again, not to say that he holds that resentment for Brianna, he obviously didn't. However, like, really, would you really prepare your daughter for the elements for that express reason?
No, it's impractical on so many levels,
It
but
is,
I mean,
but the way they're framing it, it's nice enough to think that that's true, and that's clearly the way they want us to think,
let's
so
think of Frank
fine.
as a nice guy because Claire likes to think of everybody as having the best of intentions, which is really not true. Because
We
people
saw your
don't,
messy ass divorce.
yeah. So, one of the other things that comes up in this period of time is we see that William Mackenzie explaining to Roger his whole thing about he had gone back to see his parents because he was like, I want to see Galus. And he's like, I think Galus wanted had the hots for me. And my dad didn't like it.
So funny. I mean, that
It's
is exactly what would have
totally
happened.
what would have happened. And so he fled or went back to Crigmaden, came through the stones and like immediately ran to Rob Cameron. This is hilarious because we see it. Rob Cameron doesn't speak in any of this. He sees Rob Cameron and has to kill him. And takes his gem and goes back through the stones again. And so everything's all neat and tidy. Doesn't that make sense? Let's have everything neat and tidy in season 8 of Outlander.
And
Let's do
that's the
it.
thing. Like, I obviously we already knew that Rob Cameron, now that, like, William Mackenzie mentioned that he's out of the picture, obviously he killed him. But I'm just, or like, incapacitated him. No, he killed
He
him.
killed him.
But I also just, in general, I'm like, all right, well, way to diffuse the tension. Like, imagine the possibilities of, like, Roger and Brianna are on the home front, keeping everyone safe at Fraser's Ridge while they're fighting on King's Mountain. And Rob Cameron just shows up, and that's their final battle. Like, I feel like everybody should have a part of the final battle and not just Jamie and Claire.
You mean should have stakes in a final battle. Yes, I agree.
Yes.
But we're not going to have that. So that's kind of the way things go at this time.
Yeah.
So, All right. So,
Yeah, so that happens. And
Brandon and
then,
William talk. And he's,
yes,
oh, guess what? William shows up.
William, not William Mackenzie, Wee Willie shows up at the ridge. And it's so funny that, like, Lord John Grey is like, oh yeah, he'll go off and do whatever he's gonna do. I have no idea where he could possibly be. Never would he guess in a million years that just because he was mad at one dad, he'd go to the other.
It's like that's just so dumb. I mean, of course that's where he went. And even Brown even had told William, hey, why don't you go talk to Da, way back, like several months or whatever ago.
But the thing is, William gets there and is like, I want to talk to Brianna because like Brianna will listen to him and Brianna can feel
He
the way he
gets it,
feels. He
yeah.
gets it. So, and Jamie's like, oh, okay.
You know, and Jamie's like going out of his way to try to be nice, and William's kind of like, no, I don't like you because you have lied to me and everyone's bad.
He also reunites with Rachel and tells her about Denzel helping him out. And
And how great Denzel is.
I love Denzel. I wish he was on the
Yeah,
ridge.
but William tells Brianna about Amaranthus, and how sad he was when she admitted that she had lied. And I think it's just because he's just never he's unlucky enough, let's put it that way. But he also eventually talks to Jamie
Well,
and
before that, Roger is officially going to be ordained a minister. They're going to have a whole ceremony about it. That let me just really briefly recap that section of
the
that of
episode.
this episode because it's kind of a small one.
And it doesn't matter that much.
Not really.
It does to Roger, but you know.
It no, of course, and Fanny, but not particularly. Fanny, and she talks to Rachel about this, oddly enough. I guess she talks to the two spiritual people about it. Fanny has heard like people were taunting her, some boys were taunting her about like, oh, your sister's in hell because she was a whore and she murdered someone. And she really resents that idea. And
So she hates God,
yeah, because her sister doesn't belong in hell in her eyes. And not to say that she does, but it's just like,
that's not ours to figure out.
yeah, that's not
That
ours
is
to choose.
between her and God.
Yeah. And so she's feeling all these conflicting feelings about like, well, I was raised, I think she was raised Catholic, and she is like, well, what am I supposed to do now? Like, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to like think about all this stuff, but like, how am I supposed to know where Jane is in the grand scheme of things? Like, I can try to talk to her, but if she's in hell, can she even hear me? And all that stuff.
Yeah, she's just very, very upset by the idea of Jane being hell, and
And as
which
she
is
should.
understandable. And of course, you know, all of us, and she eventually talks to Roger, and Roger's like, none of us knows. Those
We all
kids, they
guess.
don't know. We guess, and you know, yet, and she's like, but they said it was in the Bible that if you kill somebody, then you go to hell. And he's kind of like, well, but there are justified killing. You know, he's trying to explain these very complex concepts. And many of them, we really don't know the answers to. I mean, you know, the reality is that, yeah, some killings are flat out irredeemable.
Yeah.
But some of them, it's really
There's a
hard
gray
to tell.
area, and I think that and Roger is able to convey that to her of like there is no real answer. It's more just how you interpret it. And I think that's a good way to look at religion in general, of just like there is no right or wrong really when it comes to like I'm not talking about morally, Mom. I'm talking about like there is no right or wrong answer as far as like what you believe in, as far as like what happens after you die and all that stuff, because we don't know.
There's no absolute answer.
Yes, that's what I mean. And so you can have your own conjecture, you can have your own ideas about like what happens, but overall, it's more of our interpretation of what we know or what we have been taught or learned or whatever. So I think, and he describes that to Fanny, and it makes Fanny feel better. And so she's going to try praying and hoping that and talking to God in her own way because she's finding her own way to cope with it.
Right, but
And
she does not want to go to the ordination ceremony, and you know she kind of comes in and then she leaves, and he talks to her, and you see that conflict for her in this episode, basically is all of it.
it's a brief thing. It's kind of just in the background. But what is really in the foreground is Willie,
Oh, alas,
who,
poor William.
yeah, so Jamie and Brianna and Roger kind of strong arm him into this, but like they go fly fishing. And so, and
Just William and Jane fly fishing.
they're kind of bonding, but then he brings up the last time they went fishing, which ended in him telling the Mohawk, oh, or not the Mohawk. The Cherokee,
Cherokee.
that
He was his father.
yeah, and to like
Jamie
get him
told
out
him.
of trouble,
Right.
and obviously played it off as a joke afterwards and all that stuff. But
And it's like, and
little did
then you
William
lied to
know,
me. And it's like, God.
And then he's reminded of all of the hurt that he has felt because people lie to him, and
Well, and
he
all the
storms
hurt
off
he
again.
felt about, and so yeah, he storms off again. They have another encounter later, where William kind of goes and he sees Jamie training troops for this King's Mountain thing because Jamie knows it's coming. He's like, all right, we got to have our people together.
A few things happened before then. First, I forgot to mention at the fly fishing that Jamie and William talk, they are bonding, but they also talk about how Lord John Grey is gay. And Jamie sets it straight of like, we never did anything. And he's like, okay. And also after they've had this whole, and Jamie defends Lord John Grey about
Which again, that gets William's hackles up too.
that. And also, like, we've already had this whole discussion on Jamie's side of like still being mad at Lord John Grey for like fucking his wife and all that stuff, that whole thing, that dumb old thing. But to see him defend him like this of like, yeah, he is gay, but he was also your father and very, very kind. And again, being gay is not a criminal. Okay. It is not morally bad. Being gay is not morally bad, everybody. I hate to break it to you. And so Lord John, he defends Lord John Grey as a parent and as a man who stepped up for him, or for William to like live the life that he is living. And William can't hear that right now, so he storms off. And then Claire talks to William. And she's like, hey, I'm just kind of nudging him because she has read the book and is like, hey, William, it's war. You might not see him again. Just tell him how you feel.
Yeah, do you really want to leave it like this? Because you don't know what, things can change like tomorrow.
And then he sees Jamie teaching Mandy how to ride a horse just the way that he taught William how to ride a horse when he was younger. And he gets all these flashbacks and all that stuff.
But then he goes and he sees Jamie also training troops, and the whole reason he went, and he's so awkward, he's really cute. He's finally just like is able to spit out, "Hey, can we go hunting tomorrow so we can actually have a conversation, basically?" And Jamie's like, "Yeah, sure, love to do that."
Yeah.
And so they go hunting.
What I love is that's how this gets its name of in the woods because he just
Without a
keeps,
vest.
well, no, it's because he keeps repeating, we could just go hunting in the woods, in
In
the
the
woods,
forest.
in the
In the
forest,
forest.
in the
Yeah.
forest, in the forest. And then Jamie's like,
So
I would be
awkward.
happy to hunt in the forest with
Yes.
you. And it's so cute, William trying to make it up to him because we've never seen it that way. William has always been on the receiving end of the apology because he has, in many ways, deserved that. However, there are other instances where it's like,
You've been kind of a brat.
you have been a brat, and so you need to do some ass kissing to like get back on people's good side.
And so he does. And
Yeah.
he tells him, look, I'm really sorry I keep storming off and being an asshole.
Very quickly, during that training session with the militia, Whitaker, the guy whose wife had twins, he shows up, and him and his friends are willing to join the militia,
Which
by
is
the way.
lovely. And
I like that a lot.
I love it. It's like, because Jamie's like, what can I do for you? He's like, no, it's what can I do for you from Mr. Whitaker. It's like, oh, hell yeah, good for you.
Yeah. So William and Jamie essentially, well, I really shortened this in my notes because obviously I wasn't going to write everything down. But,
I've got some of
oh,
it.
you
Go
got,
ahead.
okay, go ahead.
Not all of it.
You
But
probably have more than me. I
I'm
just
not
say they
sure.
hash things out.
No, so we all, just as an aside, Roger is singing in this episode again. So like, yikes. Are we getting back to the Roger does nothing but saying, oh, please no. I mean, we've only got like another two episodes of Outlander after this. Come on, please, let's not relegate Roger to just singing. But they kill a buck. Jamie kills a buck with William, and you see Jamie pray over it, which we've never seen that before. It's interesting. But Willie apologizes, and he admits that when he was a child, when he was really little and learning how to ride, he worshipped Jamie as an adult and just could not understand why Jamie had left. And he was very upset. He didn't even look back at him, and it just was really upsetting to him. And Jamie's like, it took all I had to actually leave. But I couldn't stay.
What I love about these performances in this moment, they're both doing fabulous jobs.
They are.
What I love about this for Williams' actor in particular is that he really does emulate this lost kid,
Yeah.
which Lord John Grey and Brianna have talked about earlier this season of like Lord John Grey will always see this kid as the one who was lost after in like the fields just trying to find his way back to
Yeah.
something.
Yeah.
And you really see that in this scene of like him scrambling to like figure out why Jamie seemingly didn't love him enough to stick around. And it's probably what would have happened if Faith had lived. But they obviously shouldn't have like recycled everything, but you know. But I think that yeah, he's very sad and very confused about why this happened, and Jamie is just falling apart of like, I couldn't give you the life you deserved. At this time in his life, Jamie was at rock bottom.
Right. I mean,
He
it was
just got out of
depressing.
prison.
Yeah.
Well, I say got out of. He's still an indentured servant. He is still not with Claire. He's finding his way back to living like a normal life again after his grief of losing Claire.
He
And
has no money, no anything.
no money, no prospects. He's 27 and he's scared.
Yeah. And he
Now,
has
so don't you judge him. Don't you dare judge him.
Thank you very much for calling back to Pride and Prejudice, everyone.
But it's accurate. It is
It is.
accurate. And he's
He,
probably
the
not
difference,
27.
of course, is that he's been married and has kids.
Well, now he has.
Yeah. Anyway, so
But at
he,
that point, you can't really just pop up
well,
and
I mean, he knew Claire
he
was
could
pregnant.
have.
He knew Claire was pregnant. So anyway, Jamie apologizes for having left him. He's like, it was so hard. I couldn't, if I looked back, I don't think I could have left, kind of
My
thing.
resolve
Because
would have broken.
and so I couldn't. And they hug, and it's very,
It
very
is the
sweet.
sweetest hug. Like,
It's
William
very
is the one
sweet.
who initiates it, which is even better. Of like,
Yeah.
that is the best you can see. And I'm not trying to spoil Avatar: The Last Airbender. I have just recently done my first watch of it. But there is a similar-ish moment in the series finale of that where my heart was just like, oh my goodness. And if you've watched it, you know of the hug of which I speak. But it's very, very sweet. And I think that just what I love about it is it was really reminiscent of like Jamie's relationship with all of his children. I say all two. He never really met Faith at all. He never got to hold her either. He was in jail. But it's very reminiscent of when he meets Brianna for the first time, and Brianna's crying, and he hugs her and comforts her, and because she initiated that hug. And so we have William initiating the hug and Jamie comforting him
Yeah, it's
and being
very
like, "No,
sweet.
I am here. I am your father, and I love you."
Yeah, I love you. And I think
And
that's
that was
very.
never in question. I never stopped loving you. I never didn't love you. It was just because I couldn't give you what you deserved, and Lord John could.
Yeah. So one other thing that happens in this episode is that Fanny is going to put a rock on the cairn for her sister, and the rock gets really hot and the buzzing is overwhelming, and she looks like she's going to pass out just from the level of noise. But so clearly she is sensitive and a
Time
time
traveler.
traveler.
What I'm
So
curious about is like, are they forming their own circle of cairns that turn into the rocks
the
that like
stones,
this a standing
Cause,
stone
yeah, because
circle
the one that she builds is pretty
by
far
a
away.
river, and then the one
And
for
for
Fergus
Fergus,
is not super far, but
but it's in a field. It's out in the field.
yeah.
Yeah. So it's an interesting question.
It
Anyway.
makes me curious, like, because we don't see Fanny for the rest of the episode after that happens. I'm curious if she's already gone back.
That seems unlikely, but
It
so
feels weird. I don't know.
I don't either,
But
but.
it also is setting the stage of like, well, she can time travel. If you can, you will.
Yeah,
So, I mean,
because
it's
that's
not
what this
like,
show
yeah,
is.
because the show's not going to introduce, oh, yeah, you can time travel and then not do it. That's dumb. If they don't have Fanny time travel, that's dumb. But what I'm curious is like, where would you put Fanny? I think that there are two or three possibilities.
Go with Brianna and Roger back to the
Go
future.
with Brianna and Roger back to like the 80s.
Yep.
Go with Claire, Jamie, Brianna, and Roger all to the 80s
Yeah, possible.
if Jamie suddenly develops an affinity or dies or whatever happens.
Yeah.
And the other is go back in time and save Jane.
Good question, but let's see. And there's a lot of possibility here, so there's much still to be seen. What were your best parts of this episode?
Marcelly, I really love her moment with Fergus's cairn and grave and all of that stuff. I like her resolve. I really do hope this is not the last time we see her, but there is a chance that it is. I will say, even though I don't let it, I'll mention this in my worst parts. There's part of this that I don't like. I like William McKenzie killing Rob Cameron. I think it's kind of funny that, like, what Rob Cameron is looking in the mirror dressed as
It's a tricorn hat. It's
someone
hilarious.
from the 1700s ready to go. And then fucking William McKenzie, who he's never met, comes in and is just like, "You're not going anywhere."
Oh, you can't handle a real 1700s man. You think you're all tough and shit? Pull.
I still think that it would have been better if William McKenzie didn't flip flop back and forth between
Yeah,
time,
for
because I
sure.
feel like it's too easy for him because he goes back to Galus to say bye and all that stuff, and or before he goes through the stones,
Right.
and then he goes to the 1980s, then he goes back to the 1770s. I'm like, oh,
Yeah,
okay.
he seems to be able to control it a
It's
little bit
way
better
too
than.
easy for him. So I think that it would have
That's
made
fair.
the most sense for him to completely forget about Rob Cameron, just go back to the 1770s, meet Rob Cameron, who has just recently freshly gone out of the
And kill him
stones, and
then.
killed him then. I
Yeah,
think
I'm
that
not
would
gonna
make
do
more
that though.
sense narratively and everythingly.
Whatever.
Brianna and William, I really love that these siblings just like sit down and have tea and gossip. I love that. I think it's so funny. William tells him her literally everything about
Yes,
it
it's
because I
so
feel like he
good.
just has no one to talk to about it because Lord
Definitely.
John Grey has violated his trust multiple times and he doesn't have any friends who are alive. So what were your best parts?
So my best parts, I didn't write down everything because honestly, there were a lot of best parts in this. And I
There
felt like
were. It
after a
was
while, I was
shocking.
kind of like, why am I writing stuff down? But stop. We're like mental right now. But Willie and Brianna, I really love the way they're interacting. I love them both kind of bonding over this, like, we didn't find out our dad was our dad until we were adults. And I think that that's kind of that level of betrayal is only, you know, they can understand each other in a way that other people can't. I love Willie and Jamie. That's
I do too. They're so
they
cute.
are so cute, and it hasn't ever really been cute up until now. So like it's always been conflict, conflict, conflict. And so it especially seeing Willie come around because he's been a brat and selfish and whatever and unforgiving, which some of it is understandable, but the level of reaction, like I've said before, has been like way over the top sometimes. So yeah, that I think is important. Fanny, I think is really good, and what we see of her in this, I like her kind of taking care of Jamie a little bit. Marcelly talking to Fergus, just it's so
It's
sweet.
so
I
sweet.
really love that, and that's what I wrote down. So, what were your worst parts?
My worst parts were Amaranthus. I don't care, and you don't deserve Willie. You
You don't
don't.
agree. You don't deserve screen time. That is the way I feel about
That is
Amaranthus.
also true.
Bye.
No more threat of Rob Cameron. As I said, I gave my pitch. I think that he should have been Brianna and Roger's final battle. If it wasn't going to be the rapist, it might as well be you.
Yeah, so you could actually have therapists.
And Captain Richardson, fuck you, man. And oh, also beach him.
Beach him. Yeah. So like the only things I wrote down, I'm
That
sorry. Now
man
I'm
fucked you,
interrupting.
bro.
Yeah, beat Beauchamp, hate you, hate you. And you know, that whole thing with Richardson knocking LJD out, you know, whatever.
Well, because they're
Unacceptable.
capturing him for reasons.
Yeah. What grade did you give this episode?
Oddly enough, I was gonna give it a B plus, but I think it's an A minus.
And talking it over, you're probably right.
I
I had
think it
written
might
down B
be
plus, but I think you're actually right. I think
because
it
it
was.
made me feel things. It
Which
weirdly made
like
me feel things. And you know what? It
yeah.
hasn't really. Outlander hasn't really made me feel things since, well, obviously, like last episode, there was the whole like Fergus thing that I made me feel things, but like real, like just a regular Outlander episode, like just something where like just things are happening the way that they do in Outlander. Since Ian died, it hasn't really made me feel emotional in the way that like is like, oh, this is why I watched this show or like whatever.
Yeah, I
Like
agree.
what I like about this is like there are many final seasons that flop in this department of like wrapping things up nicely. The thing with Outlander is you it doesn't take much to wrap things up nicely because I mean
Magic is a thing.
not just that, but like also just talking to people is also a thing of like a lot of it's miscommunication. And so seeing things wrapped up in a nice little bow, which they can be in Outlander without it feeling super weird,
Yeah, too
unless you're
contrived.
Faith.
We've got a lot of contrived shit.
We
I mean, let's
do,
face it.
but
I
like,
think what it is we aren't as offended by it because there's been so much other really offensive bad stuff.
I'm not saying this is an A minus for any other season of television.
No,
Like,
but for Outlander, it is.
this is not on the same level as a Game of Thrones or Downton Abbey A
Oh,
minus.
hell
Like,
no.
it's not.
No.
But for Outlander, it's an A minus for me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So. There are only two more episodes of Outlander left. Hard to imagine. We're really kind of looking forward to it because, again, I think the setup here is pretty good for this series to end well. And we're hoping that that happens. We also hope that you join us. And cheers.
Cheers.